podcast. This is episode number 41. I hope you are doing well today. And this podcast is all about being an extraordinary coach. We're going to be exploring a wide variety of topics that fit into this broad field of coaching. And I'd love it if you would be willing to share this podcast or leave a review in iTunes. And if you're not subscribed, you can subscribe to us through iTunes or other podcast players. So yeah, do that. And today we're going to be speaking with Carrie Granger. And Carrie actually first came on my radar a few years back. We were looking for some hosts for our programs and she applied. You know, she reached out and said, I'm up for this. But very quickly she had to say, you know, I actually, my business is just taken off and I don't have the time. And she actually built a 7-figure coaching business in 4 years. And so I was like, well, I want to talk to you about that because I want to know, what are you doing? Yeah? So that's what this podcast is all about. We're going to talk about transformative enrollment conversations. And I like talking to Carrie about this because sometimes we get people reaching out to us who want to show coaches how to build a business, but they're not coaches themselves. And Carrie is a coach. She is an extremely dedicated coach. She's been in close training with Fernando Flores, somebody who's had a kind of large impact in the field and who I respect a lot. So, you know, I want to hear from the coaches who've built a successful business. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Carrie, as I said, is an executive coach. She's really working with leaders in corporations, executives, and, you know, she focuses on transformative leadership in challenging conditions. She's a combat veteran and a distinguished graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy with an MA in organizational leadership. So I hope you enjoy this podcast today. Before we get into today's podcast, I have an invitation for you. We're about to kick off the 9th edition of our longest running program, The Power of Embodied Transformation. This is a program I'm really proud about because it shows you how to tap into the intelligence of change itself. One of the most profound discoveries of neuroscience is that intelligence isn't just in the domain of the mind. In fact, so much of the deep wisdom we need in order to evoke transformation actually lives in the body. And yet, so many of the people you'll encounter in your coaching have actually been trained away from accessing the wisdom of the body. So this program will reconnect you to this embodied intelligence so you can create deep, lasting change with your clients. We're honored to have a truly world-class faculty for this program. You'll learn from the founder of Somatic Coaching, Richard Strozzi Heckler, alongside contemporary coaches who've integrated this powerful approach with new discoveries in neuroscience, trauma work, and leadership development. It's going to be an amazing transformational journey, so I hope you'll come and join us. You can head to coachesrising.com/power of embodied transformation to book your spot. The first class is on the 6th of June with Richard, and if you sign up by May the 22nd, you can get the early bird discount. So just head to coachesrising.com/power of embodied transformation to book your spot. Hey, Carrie, great to be on the line with you again. How's things?
Oh my goodness, it's so great to be with you too, Joel. I've been looking forward to connecting for months now, and things are going great. Things are, you know, growing in the family, in the business, just everywhere.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today. So I've been, you know, thinking for ages now, like I want to speak to Carrie about how she grew her business, because it was, I don't know, maybe a couple of years back when, you know, you were thinking about being a host for some of our programs, and very quickly it became clear to you, you couldn't because your business was just, you know, skyrocketing. And I was super impressed. So I wanted to talk to you about that today, about how you grew your business. And you just shared with me, yeah, like I grew a 7-figure coaching business in 4 years. Right. So that's pretty amazing. So let's unpack that. And what I like about talking to you about this is you're a coach, yeah? You grew your coaching business. I get so many people reaching out to me who want to share their ideas about how coaches can grow a business, but then they've never grown their own coaching business. So that's why I wanted to talk to you about it today. So how does all that sound?
It sounds great. Oh my goodness. I'm so passionate about this, and I'm passionate about supporting coaches and growing their business, mostly because as a now a business owner, I'm acquainted with so many great coaches that haven't quite been able to carve out the opportunity to provide their great coaching. And it's always kind of this mystery of, you know, thousands of coaches and not as many really successful coaching businesses. And so at any rate, I'm really passionate about this, and I'm so thrilled that we get to talk about it today.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could tell me your story over the last, let's kind of touch into that before we talk about, you know, things perhaps that other coaches could apply, but maybe you could tell me your story over the last 3-4 years then.
Sure. I 5 years ago, I was working for a consulting firm, and I left to have my baby, my first child. And I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And it turns out that that's way harder than any job that I've ever had. And I'm a combat veteran, so that means something, right? And so I realized I needed to go back to work, but I didn't want to go back to work for somebody else. So I started working one day a week, and the purpose of which was just to serve, to be out there, to begin to find a different expression as a coach. And it grew to 2 days, it grew to 3 days, and it was going, average, I would say, as a coach. It was going average. And, about maybe 2 years, maybe a year and a half ago, something happened for me in which I realized that for myself, and I'm just talking about for myself, if all I did was to have a sufficient coaching business, I'm fine, I'm supporting myself, that actually for me would be tragic. And it would be tragic because I'd help people and that would be great, but I felt like I could do a lot more in the world. I wanted a raison d'etre, a reason for growth, and an intention, an aim that my coaching would fulfill on. And when I got clear for myself that, my reason for being a coach was to intervene in the global drift of more for more sake, more money, more material, more land, more control, more. In other words, from my perspective, the hazardous focus on shareholder profit at the expense of the remaining stakeholder interests. When I got that, my work was that all stakeholders, I'm a executive coach in the leadership domain. When I got that, my work was about all stakeholders thriving while the business also thrives. All of a sudden, things really started to take off. There was a greater context that my coaching was in service of. And when I got that clear for myself, it didn't take maybe 2 years before I have, seven-figure coaching business. I've got 10, 15 people on my team. And I really see that as a line of demarcation for myself.
Mm. Beautiful. What created that shift? I want to ask you, in a moment about what that brought, making that shift to seeing what your work was about. But how did you get to that place where you discovered that you needed more and that there was about, going beyond the shareholder profit model?
Well, I'm an executive coach, and I work in the domain of leadership development as well. So I'm an executive coach for executives, and then I do leadership development for all leaders. And I'm a mom. And, you know, being a mom started to shift my view to, I cared more about where our planet was going. You know, I have a daughter now, right? Like, I know I can survive and be fine, but now I have this little innocent child. And I know people don't need to have a kid to care about the planet. And I always cared about the planet, but I don't know, it just shifted something for me. Mm. And I, you know, I'd be doing coaching with leaders and I don't know, you know, sometimes it was like, I'm spending a lot of time coaching my clients so that their businesses could be more and more profitable. And it just felt empty. At the same time, you know, I'm watching what's happening in our world. You know, I'm watching I live in the United States, and so that's mostly where I can speak from. But I'm noticing how we do have this drift, and it's just like more, more, more. And it's a cultural drift. It's like more is always better, at least in our culture. And I know it's not like that in every culture, but it's very contagious in the world right now. So I just really started caring about that. I also, part of my work was in mergers and acquisitions, post-merger acquisition cultural alignment. So you've got, you know, different companies coming together. And when you get down on the ground floor, you know, there's a lot of places where people are suffering. You know, they've been acquired 4, 5, 6, 7 times. They don't know what their future holds. They're fearful. They're confused. Their identity is lost in the process. You know, I used to be this, and now I don't know what my role is. I used to be important. I used to know my place. I used to know how things go. And, you know, if you are just focused on shareholder profit, you're not necessarily going to be attending to the lives, you know, the employees, the colleagues as part of that new company. And there's just an emptiness around that. And so I wanted my coaching efforts to have all stakeholders thrive. And I really believe strongly that when all stakeholders thrive, profits rise. I believe that so strongly. That's our methodology.
Mm. Yeah, what I hear in that is just that developmental imperative, you know, where mm-hmm. where you're in that journey of coaching people, but then something starts to, you know, that you're aware that something's missing. You go ahead.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's our coaching itself. It's using our own work on ourselves. For the sake of what am I doing this? You know, the beginning of every coaching call. What do we want to accomplish together? What's the outcome we're after? Yeah? Yeah. Well, what about me? What do I want to accomplish through my coaching practice?
Go ahead. Sorry, I'm butting in again.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, my leadership for me is the realization of a future that wasn't going to happen on its own. And that future addresses the fundamental cares of the relevant parties. That's what leadership is for me. So what future was I creating, was I fulfilling on in my own coaching practice? And how did that fulfill on the fundamental cares of the relevant parties? So it was really about just being authentic with my own coaching and my own coaching practice.
Because I think that's where I want to go. It's like, this is really important. We could talk about the outer game of enrolling clients and building a business, but this like inner shift really is about your own leadership. And it seems to me like something came online. Yeah. And that something that came online then fueled the growth of your business because you were embodying that. It fueled the actions that you took and the words that you spoke to people in a way that influenced people. Does that feel right?
I would say so. Yeah. Before that, I would, you know, and we should talk a little bit about the outer game and, you know, because I've never struggled with having clients, right? And I know that some coaches do, and I'd really love to share something about that. And what I found was I would get bored. you know, like I'd coach people for a while, I get kind of bored without this greater context, future that I was creating.
Mm. Yeah. So, there was this shift that took place. And then you said after that, within, you know, 18 months or 2 years, you had, a seven figure mm-hmm. coaching business with 14 people mm-hmm. Working for you. Let me ask a little bit about, like, how did you do that? Like, how did you build that business? Let's look at it from that angle. You know, what did you do to build it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have to say that I don't think that there's like, here's the three steps.
Yeah.
Because if there were, all of us would be doing that, right? But I will say that there's a lot of authenticity in, you know, just what we were just saying, right? So there's a lot of, you know, who I am anywhere is who I am everywhere. And so my being authentic with my own work and doing my own work is really at the heart of it. So for one, you know, I think it's really important to provide extraordinary service. So, you know, I'm always on the path to mastery, always. And meaning that it's never ending. You know, there's never a place to get to. I recently, which I'm very proud of, but I recently got my MCC from the ICF. And I have to tell you, I thought, you know, okay, now, you know, you get the MCC. Now you feel like, all right, I'm here. I got it. But I've never felt like even more of a beginner than I do now. You know, because I have to ask my question, well, if I have this designation, what is it to be a master certified coach? And I feel like I'm right back at the beginning again. So there's what it takes to provide extraordinary service, like a never ending path to mastery. And meaning that if you've ever read George Leonard's book on mastery, you know, you got to learn to love the plateaus. Right. So you're working in your passions. Like I just can't get enough. That's why I love your programs with Coaches Rising. I just love them because it's, I'm always developing myself. The other thing inside of providing great extraordinary service, I think is also, taking a break. So at the same time, I love your programs and everything else, you know, all other places in which I develop myself. I think it's been really important that I take a break, that I can integrate a break from things coming at me and learning from other people. You know, like I need to take a break to integrate those and make of what I've learned my own expression. So it's mine.
How do you do that? Like, how do you create those breaks? Like, is it like a day or a week or is it different? Like,
I mean, I take time off from always being in a training program is what right. I mean, you yes. know? So on one hand, I'm hungry, I'm learning, I'm always looking. But on the other hand, I've got to discover things for myself so that I'm at the source of my own coaching. I'm not simply doing other people's tips and techniques and methods, right? So I'm at the source of it. I'm saying, this is what works. This is how I coach. Here's where I'm looking. So I found that it was really important for me to not always be in a training program, but to integrate and make of what I've learned my own expression. And how I do that is I really discover it for myself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's that authenticity again, huh? Like the if you only are coaching in the ways that other people have trained you, it's kind of an adapted approach, an adopted approach. And then as you're able to, like, what did you say? Like be at the source of your own coaching. I guess that's where you're more powerful, yeah? Because you're in your own authenticity again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think so. And I think for sure for people who are just starting out coaching, it really does work to learn different methods and try out different techniques and all of that. But as a way of, wow, what does this allow me to see? what does that allow me to see? What does this give me access to? But to begin to make it your own. Mm. You know, when I hire coaches, it's important for me that they're on their own path to mastery and they're not simply looking to emulate what I do.
Yeah. So you get a whole team of people who are doing this, you know, being at the source of their own coaching.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We might share some distinctions, but we're at the source of our own coaching.
And yeah. What else would you share with people? Like I keep wanting to know, how do you find clients? Of course you can't have a business without clients, but maybe you wouldn't go there yet. Is there anything else you would say first?
Well, I'd say we could do, a whole series of podcasts on providing great service. The only thing I talked about was being, you know, on your own path to mastery, but that's like a piece of a lot, but so there's a lot more. I don't want to pretend like that's the only thing.
Yeah.
And then, so that's one thing, right? Providing great service. The other thing is learning how to sell. You know, I think we got to talk about learning how to sell.
I think, you know, it's interesting because it's not often something people who are, well, I know when I first started coaching, I wanted to help people. And so it didn't quite, I didn't know about business, you know, I didn't know about enrolling people as clients. So,
yeah.
And it almost seemed to be a bit jarring, you know, with this part of me that wanted to serve.
Right. And I wonder how many people listening to this podcast is like, oh, you know, that reaction to sales. Ah, you know, some of us love it. And I didn't always be this way. But boy, I have met so many people. I would say more, the exception are those who don't have a hang up around sales. Right. So I've met so many people that, you know, sales is like, you know, something to, I don't know. It's something that we resist in some way. So I think that one of the really important shifts that we need to make is to examine our relationship around sales. So, there's about five directions I want to go, but let me say one thing before I go into selling. One of my coaches, Dr. Fernando Flores, which I'm sure other people have referenced before, and maybe you've had him on the podcast, I'm not sure. One of the most important things I got from him is that coaching is not an offer. Right? Coaching is not an offer. And I see so many coaches try to sell coaching. Mm-hmm. But coaching isn't the offer. Coaching is a vehicle for the offer. And so it's really important that we understand as coaches that coaching is a vehicle, not the offer itself.
Yes.
The other thing is selling something to someone is an insufficient context for growing a successful coaching business. So I'm just going to say that again. Selling something to someone is an insufficient context. Here was one of the big shifts that I made for myself that impacted the outer game is that I realized it was actually only after I was successful that I realized for me, I wasn't quote doing selling. Who I was in conversations with prospects and clients was a co-creator of possibilities. So see, I don't know myself as a saleswoman. I know myself as a coach. And so being a co-creator of possibilities is exactly what I do in coaching, right? So, you know, here's what that means. It means I'm being someone who co-creates with my prospects a future that is extraordinarily relevant for them and a pathway for achieving that future. Now, how different is that from coaching? Mm. So I'm a co-creator with my prospects and my clients about, well, what's a future that's that's relevant and inspiring and connected to what's fundamentally important to you. So that's the first conversation we have, mm-hmm. you know, is well, the first conversation is what's going on, right? Until they, and I'm bringing a certain kind of listening so that, you know, like a coach, right? Creating space. I probably listen for 15 to 20 minutes before I say anything. And in that listening, I'm pulling out what's fundamentally important to them, what they fundamentally care about. And in conversation and dialogue, we start to invent, to create a possible future that they care about. Then we look to, well, how might we achieve that future? And generally speaking, how we would achieve that future is through a coaching engagement and the work that we would do in a coaching engagement. And so who I'm being is a co-creator of possibilities. I don't even have the intent that at the end of this, I'm going to sell a coaching engagement. It's that what's the future and how might we partner together in fulfillment of the future? That's the offer.
Mm. Yeah. Could you say the expand on that difference, you know? So I it makes sense to me, but you said like the offer is the coaching engagement that would get them to that extraordinary future or the highly relevant future. Where in that conversation would you talk about, you know, actually enrolling together or something?
I just want to correct one thing. The offer isn't the coaching engagement even.
Right.
The offer is the future and partnering with them to accomplish that future. Then there's the structure. You know, how are we going to do that? Well, you know, we're going to have a year's worth of coaching, and we're going to spend 2 days together, whatever. Okay. But it's really, they're not buying the number of sessions. What they're buying is their future.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And so so I'm actually in the middle of creating a course on transformative selling. And you know, for me, transformative selling is where the prospect is experiences a transformation in the transaction. Mm. So what does that mean? They see a new future self. They see a new future for themselves, and they see that they can take action to achieve that future. Now, what's the action? It's partnering with me or partnering with you, right?
Yeah.
Say your question again. I'm not sure that I answered it.
Well, no, it's great. I mean, what is it about that enrollment part that is potentially so transformative?
Well, first of all, in any of my conversations, and I have to tell you, I have something like a 80% close rate, right? So I might even say 90%, but I'm being a little conservative, 80% close rate. So a very extremely high close rate. And I've had people listen to my coaching calls in the past. And one of the things that they're astonished by is how little I'm speaking. So what I'll hear is, okay, what do you, you know, you'll get on a prospect call. I've heard other people's coaching and they're doing or other coaching, other coaches, business development calls. And they're doing a lot of talking. Or they're starting out with, oh yeah, I have this for you. I have a 10 session series, or I have a, you know, year long, twice a month series. This is what I have, you know, and you know, in their first call, we'll come out with the outcomes. This is how it's going to go. And why transformative selling is so enrolling is that the client is doing the speaking, the client is doing the creating. So in a way, they're enrolling themselves. I'm really being a coach, you know, so there's an arc to this. In the beginning, I'm just listening and I'm listening to understand in the same way we do coaching. And I'm getting where I am. An exact duplication of what's happening where the client is. So I'm really recreating where I am, what's happening where the client is, to include, you know, what's the mood and the emotion? What's the world they're immersed in? What, you know, there's the presenting issue, and then there's what's underneath, what they care about that has this issue be presented in the first place. So I'm listening for understanding. Then I start to listen for, well, what are their fundamental cares? And I'll check it out with them. It sounds like this is really important to you. It sounds like this is really important to you. And we'll really get dialed in to what they fundamentally care about. And when we do that, almost automatically, a new future starts to show up. And they begin to give voice to that new future, you know, and this is what I want. And I could see this and I imagine. And then there's a bit, you know, there's a little silence and I might offer, well, one way we could go about that is, and then we begin to talk about strategies, pathways. So I'm not really speaking a lot until we start to talk about bridging their fundamental cares with what they see as possible. And when we look at that bridge, I might offer a coaching structure with outcomes that are related to that future. And you know, out of that, they're like, wow, yes, please send me your proposal. Mm-hmm. So the, you know, the arc is from understanding to identifying fundamental cares to beginning to co-create, imagine what's possible. Then we look together and it's really a co-creation. I don't think I need to know. You know, I'll offer, well, what if we started for 2 days together in a strategy session, then we did, you know, coaching twice a month, maybe we can do some three ways with your boss or your spouse, whatever. But, you know, what do you think, how does that sound to you? Mm-hmm. And they might sound, wow, that's great. Or, well, I'm nervous about the 2 days, you know, so it's a co-creation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing is committed action. And I don't try to do the whole thing in one call. Maybe the committed action is, well, why don't I start working on a proposal? You know, would you like to see a proposal from me? I like to ask that, right? Would you like to see a proposal? Are you ready to see that? And you know, in order to do that, I'd like, you know, why don't you start working on some key outcomes that would make this worthwhile?
Mm.
Sometimes I don't say, why don't you? That's a little, you know, but that is a little directive, right? So let's start to move to committed action.
Mm.
But I'm not trying to necessarily get a yes to everything in the first call. It just might be a yes to the next action.
Yeah. So much in what you shared there. So, one thing that stands out is how, like you've already said this, but how much this kind of conversation is just like coaching, you know, I mean, well, let's just say it is coaching.
It's coaching. Yeah.
It's like coaching. Right. It is coaching. And I want to ask, you said something about like bridging their fundamental cares with what they see is possible. Could you talk about that a little bit more? Like, how do you do that? What does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, what makes an offer really relevant for people is that it addresses what's fundamentally important to them. Yeah.
Mm.
So I want to make sure that my offer, that the future that they're creating and that my offer addresses what's fundamentally important to them. So for example, somebody comes in, and this happens a lot for me, actually, a prospect, sometimes a client, but oftentimes a prospect will show up, you know, I'll have a call and they'll say, I'm calling to see if you can come and do a 1 day training on accountability. You know, that's accountability and trust are two things that I do a lot of work in organizations. They all want those two things. And I'm almost certain, like 95% of the time, but not 100, almost certain that their solution is not necessarily what's going to make the biggest difference to what they care about. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask them first, rather than saying, yes, I will do that 1 day for you. I have a workshop set up and I have a 1 day program. I just know that a 1 day program, you know, by itself doesn't do a lot. So, rather than saying yes, in other words, I'm never an order taker. That's really important in being a co-creator of possibilities is that you don't take orders. You co-create. So rather than taking the order and fulfilling on the order, I ask more questions. Well, what's going on that has you request this 1 day session? And then I'll hear, well, you know, this department, you know, they're not meeting their deadlines, whatever. Okay. And what's underneath, you know, what are those deadlines in fulfillment of, or what do you suspect is at the heart of their not meeting their deadlines? So again, it's very much a coaching conversation, right? What do you suspect needs to be broken through in order for them not to meet their deadlines? And we get so much deeper in the conversation till we find out, well, you know, what's really missing is an alignment on where the company's going in the first place. People don't, they're not bought in. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not going to get covered in a one-day session on accountability. So now we say, oh, so what would really make a difference is having a company culture where everybody's aligned and bought in and excited and engaged about the future of this company. Yeah. Might I suggest a different route? Might we do some alignment sessions together? Wow. Yeah, actually, that would be exactly what we want to do. That would really make the difference. And then maybe after the alignment sessions, we do some work on accountability to make sure that we're bringing what we created into fruition. So that, it looks kind of like that. So it's very much like a coaching conversation.
And what I like about it, you know, of course, I think for a lot of people, it's like, oh, well, actually, I could coach people in that way. In a kind of transformative enrollment, and that actually you're not pushing people in any way, you know, imposing ideas, but you're actually, like you said, you're co-creating and partnering with them. And, you know, I imagine because you just really care, you know, you actually want to get to the heart of the issue, to the, what would actually be the most effective or most important thing we could do, rather than taking your, you know, initial suggestion that actually wouldn't really solve it anyway. And you're helping them kind of come to this much, much more authentic, effective solution. So beautiful.
Yeah. I think you said it really well. You know, at the heart of building a successful coaching practice, successful coaching business, you know, at the heart of the business development side of that is to be a co-creator of possibilities with your clients and your prospects. And it's all a co-creation. You know, I've had people listen to my sales calls and they go, whoa, that was a sales call? I didn't even know it was a sales call to the very end of the call. And you're offering to provide a proposal, right? So it's like, we know how to do this, you guys. We know how to do this. This is our work. And it's not like coaching and sales are two different activities. It's one vein. It's co-creating the future with your clients and partnering with them to make it happen.
Hmm. There's two things I want to ask you about. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's like the part that happens before that conversation. And right at the end, you said providing a proposal. Let's go there first. So like, what's important when providing a proposal? I know you've already spoken into that, but perhaps we could just unpack that briefly. Mm-hmm. What's the essential when providing a proposal?
Well, first of all, I don't do the work of putting a proposal together until I'm about 80% sure they're a yes, because it's a lot of work. So I used to just send proposals to people for their consideration. It's like they'd go like window shopping. It's way, way, way too much work. And I even let them know that, you know. So one thing is, I don't put a proposal together till I'm fairly certain that you know, there's an 80% that they're going to do this and we've aligned. It's critical that in the proposal, from my perspective, okay, people will say different things, but mine have a high hit rate. So in my proposals, I put in, I ensure that I restate what's really fundamentally important to them. So I might say something like, you know, Jared, thank you so much for the call. You know, I appreciated XYZ about you, which is really speaking to, you know, it's giving them a chance to see I really saw who they are. I'm also left with an appreciation of what's in front of you. And I might say a few things about that. And, you know, and ultimately what you care about and the future you're committed to, you know, something like that, right? So what's great about that is it reminds people of the call. It sets a context for the bottom of the proposal where the price is, right? Mm. So it creates that context. I put in, you know, the outcomes that we've aligned on. And I'm so much of a co-creator here that as I'm putting the proposal together, I'll even ask my prospect, I'll say, okay, you know, I'd love to, you know, could you send me the outcomes that for you would have this be a no-brainer? Right. So they'll start to put some outcomes. They'll send it to me, you know, so we'll almost, it's almost like we're co-creating the proposal together.
Yeah.
Right. So then I'll put the outcomes and I spend a lot of time. That's another thing that I think people can underestimate is the amount of effort that, you know, that is required to really hit the bullseye. I've had people tell me, man, you're just so good at this, you know, And I don't love that because they aren't acknowledging the amount of time that I've taken. Like, it's not that I'm good at this, it's that I put an extraordinary amount of effort into it. Mm. And in doing that time and time again, I have gotten good at it. So the outcomes, just really nailing those. And then, you know, look, here's the proposed structure for being able to fulfill on those outcomes. Now, what they're buying are the outcomes. They're not buying the structure. So that's another thing in building a successful coaching business is make sure that your structure is actually sufficient to fulfill on the outcomes.
Mm.
You know, I don't anymore. I do not sell less than a year's long engagement for coaching. I just won't do it anymore.
Say more about that. Cause yeah. Have you made mistakes in the past?
Yeah. So many mistakes. You know, I used to have like a 6 coaching session package because it was as much of, you know, it's a lower price point. People could do it. It seemed like a smaller commitment. And then I'd have to renew after every 6 sessions. It's yeah. Insane, right? I'd have to have new sales conversations all the time. And you know, I'm just a stand for my value. I just know the value and we've worked enough on those outcomes so that those outcomes, if they got those outcomes, the whole coaching engagement's a no-brainer for them, right? Mm. And I'm such a fan that we can do that I'm unwilling now to do anything other than what that's going to take. So mistakes in the past have been thinking we can, you know, create a whole new life, a whole new organization, whatever, in like 10 sessions. It's just not going to happen. You know, creating, just doing in an organization group coaching session, creating a vision or a strategy with no implementation. I mean, that's my reputation because how many of us have experienced those 2-day amazing offsites and then we know it's not going to work out later because we haven't put in the proper implementation. So, you know, the prices go up, the packages get bigger, but I'm telling you, I have great reputation now because I'm just unwilling to do anything other than what it's going to take to fulfill on that co-created future.
Well, I love hearing about that because yeah, you actually do less enrollment cycles.
Yes.
And it comes back to what you said at the start, like be a good coach, yeah? Be an excellent, outstanding coach. And then you can deliver and you can be confident and you can say to someone, yeah, like we worked together for a year because I know I can get you to these outcomes, but we need a year. So right. Then that confidence just shines through.
I mean, as coaches, we provide life-changing, game-changing results. You know, so let's be confident in the value we provide as coaches, really. You know, so many jobs are going away, you know, these days and new jobs are getting created, sure. But you know what's not going away is, you know, who I am in the world, what my life's about, what my organization's about. You know, what's the meaning for life? In fact, that's becoming an ever important question for many people. So,
yeah.
You know, let's be clear and confident about the value. We provide that value as coaches.
I mean, like on that note, I think only is it going to become, meaning is, you know, this, we're in a meaning crisis. You see things about meaning everywhere now. And I think only as more and more work is automated and you know, there is perhaps greater freedom we experience from that, but also greater identity crises that there's huge potential for humanity to, if we address that meaning question, like who am I in the world and what is it to leave live a meaningful life, you know. And I think coaches can play a significant role in supporting people, large numbers of people, to engage in that, you know. So as more and more people move out of the survival kind of, you know, like levels of living, like hopefully that will continue, then really important. And I know we've only got a few minutes left, but there's one thing I want to ask you about, which is like the other side. So like, where do you find the clients? You know, like imagine there's a bunch of coaches listening to how like, well, okay, well, well and good doing these, like you've shared so much of value today. I want to say that, but where do you find clients? Mm-hmm. Do they find you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one, I do want to say I have a podcast. That's not how I find my clients necessarily, because my podcast is new. So I do have that. It's called Leadership Impact, not The Leadership Impact, just Leadership Impact. So I did want a chance to mention that. And some clients come through there. But primarily, you know, I do get a lot of referrals. I ask for referrals. I speak it. So because who I am is a co-creator of possibility, I'm out in the world co-creating possibilities with people. So it's coming through conversation. Well, what are you about? Oh, interesting. What do you do? Oh, cool. You know, what are some of the things that you're up to in your business? Interesting. You know, what are the challenges that you have in achieving that? Huh? Wow. Well, you know, if you ever like to talk about that, I'm an executive coach and this is totally in my domain. Mm. You know, but it's not even like I'm going out to sell. I'm in conversation with people. I'm opening my mouth. This is useful. Maybe this is useful. 5 years ago when I started, truly just a coaching practice, because I wanted to do some transformational work from home with a new baby, I realized I wanted to coach executives and I wasn't coaching executives. So you know what I started to say?
No.
I started to say, I'm an executive coach. And you know what happened? Executives came.
Right.
So I didn't like wait until I had sufficient evidence to say I'm an executive coach. I just started speaking. I'm an executive coach. People go, oh, really? What is that? What do you do?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's to me, it speaks of that declaration that you make, that inner shift again, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're taking an embodied shift or stance as the co-creator. You know, I am a co-creator. That's what I do. And that then influences and infuses the way that you're interacting with people and inspires them to take action or not. But, you know, it, in this case, you're doing very well at that. So that's a powerful lesson for me in this, you know, is like making that declaration. I'm an executive coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm a co-creator and being that in the world.
Right. That's just who I am as an identity. And I'll be that in sales, business development. I'll be that in hiring with my team, that they see a future that's relevant for them. And the pathway to that future is working with us. I see that in clients, you know, that I'm like that with myself. I'm like that at networking events, at parties, at, you know, like it's just who I am as a co-creator of possibilities. And there's two parts, the creation and the fulfillment. And I partner with people on the fulfillment. Mm.
Hey, Carrie, well, we've got to wrap up here. Yes. And I think this has been such a rich conversation. I'm learning a lot from you. I'm sure that a lot of coaches are learning a lot from you too. It's very inspiring to hear about the way you see building your coaching practice and where it comes from within you. So a big thanks. And please share again, what's your podcast name and where we can find out more about you?
Yeah. So my podcast name is Leadership Impact. You can search that or you can search my name, Carrie Granger. And also, you know, I have a lot of resources on my website. It's just grangernetwork.com. And, you know, you're welcome to browse around there. Our podcast is there. Yeah, and can I leave us with a quote from Ram Dass, because it's kind of at the heart of all of this?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So our whole spiritual transformation brings us to the point where we realize that in our own being, we are enough.
I can feel what that evokes inside of me, a relaxation and a new place from which to take action.
Mm-hmm. And if this is who we are enough in each of our conversations to include business development is a wholly different place to stand from.
Mm. Hey, Carrie, well, I want to just make a shout out to people. If you've been inspired today, or perhaps you want to learn more about building a coaching practice, reach out to me and me or Carrie, yeah, because we talked about how maybe there's something that could emerge from the two communities or from the skills that Carrie has and the coaches we know. So just reach out and let us know. So Carrie, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training, The Power of Embodied Transformation. This program will teach you how to connect to the deep wisdom that lives in the body so you can create lasting change with your clients. Head to coachesrising.com/power of embodied transformation to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by the 22nd of May. Hi, it's me again. It's Joel here. Just a quick request. I would love it if you would share this podcast. I want as many coaches to benefit from these as possible. So you can find the share buttons on the podcast pages, the individual podcast pages. If you're not already signed up, you can do so. Just subscribe to the podcast through the usual way you would do that, iTunes and so on. And what was the other thing I wanted to say? Oh yeah, keep an eye out for our neuroscience and coaching program, which we are cooking up. And I am excited about who we've got locked in. We've got some of the teachers, in fact, most of the teachers locked in now, and I'm thrilled. So if you want to know more about that, go to coachesrising.com/neuroscience. Actually, there's very little there, but you can put your name in the sign up box and be kept in the loop, including when we release neuroscience and coaching related content. All right, see you next time.